Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you on this day before Thanksgiving, Wednesday, the 27th. Welcome to the show, my friends. We've got my good buddy, Mr. Todd Benzman, with the Center for Immigration Studies. I wanted to get him in because Todd has really made a big name for himself, and we're very, very lucky to get him on. So, Todd, thank you very much for taking time to be with us, my friend.
Sure, no problem.
I want to ask you, because you wrote a very, very interesting article last week about proposing a bipartisan truth commission, about the open borders that we have had for the past 4 years under Biden. Can you elaborate? Tell us a little bit about your thoughts.
Sure. Well, having been on the inside of this greatest mass migration crisis in U.S. history and I think world history, one thing that I noticed throughout these years, going down there and covering it and writing about it and writing a book about it even, is that the Biden-Harris administration throughout, along with its media sympathizers, have very systematically suppressed all information that they possibly could about what happened. That means ignoring multitudes of congressional information requests, hundreds if not thousands of FOIA requests, denying them, forcing them into litigation, and then, you know, saying there's no problem down there out loud. The border is secure. You remember all that. That there's no problem. It's all a bunch of fear-mongering and lying, and there's nothing going on unusual down there at all. And of course, now they've lost a presidential election primarily over that issue, so, you know, the American people are not buying it. But the question, as the Trump administration 2.0 comes in, is, you know, what really happened? What is all of the information that they have suppressed about where people went, who brought them in, who benefited, how the government transported them around, what was paid, how many criminal aliens could have been deported that weren't, internal orders, meetings, minute meetings, really everything about what the administration did here needs to come out, and it needs to come out in a way that is acceptable to most Americans. And that usually requires a bipartisan commission, either a congressional commission or a presidential commission, where, you know, there are, you know, partisans from both sides conducting the research and producing the final report. And the reason why I say this is so important is because the way it's left right now in the American public, to the American people, is that it's just one big, you know, confusing morass of competing political narratives about what happened. And if you let that, you know, continue, then you can't ever really fix the problem. You can't even find your way out of it. You don't know what policies to put in place. If you don't have a commonly accepted baseline of facts. And so I think that the time is really good for the government, in a bipartisan way, to come forward with kind of like a 9/11 commission report type thing, filling all those congressional requests for information and FOIAs and everything else, including adding material that has never been published before that maybe a commission would have the power of subpoena to obtain, so that we just can know what happened. This was a historic event with a defined beginning, a middle, and it looks like we're coming pretty quickly to an end. So it would just be those 4 years.
This is, you know, really, really amazing, because you're very accurately describing what has happened, and very accurately describing what we have endured for the past 4 years. It is like a 9/11. It is like a civil war that occurred. It is literally an invasion. And, you know, how, why, who is up in the air. We still we have how many children that are missing even now? We have children still coming across. You know,
and how that happened and why that happened the way it did. I mean, everybody disagrees about what they're even missing, or that anything bad happened to them, or anything about that. That's just one
facet of it. Yeah,
it's one facet of many things. But the point I'm trying to make is that if you don't settle it, if you don't get it settled, then it will fester in American life for generations.
That's right.
A great example is, you know, the Warren Commission from the Kennedy assassination. Had we not had a Warren Commission, you know, the nation would still be fighting and arguing over conspiracy theories and what's true and what isn't, and on and on. It's very damaging. Another good example is the 2020 election. You know, half the country doesn't have confidence in such a basic thing as our election integrity, the American election integrity, because nobody ever put together a commission to actually investigate the claims, Trump's claims that the election was stolen. And so this thing just goes on and on and on, with half the country saying you're full of it and half the country saying I don't trust the vote. And this can't be one of those. This one can't be allowed. That can't be allowed to happen, or it'll just cycle through again and again. We'll have another crisis and another crisis, and with nobody ever understanding why it happened.
There seems to be this attitude by the Democrats, or by the liberals and leftists, to just deny and deny and deny. And then whenever you want to do some type of commission or some type of fact-finding, they resist beyond belief. I mean, the whole situation with the Russia collusion was found, and, you know, just, oh, well, and they just swept it under, and they haven't said too much about it.
Ideally, that's why you would have Democrats involved in a truth commission on this, so that their side of the aisle ultimately would accept the basic set of facts about it. And, you know, I've gotten some blowback on that, like, you know, the Democrats can't be trusted to be part of this. But, you know, I push back on that there are plenty of Democrats that realize that they lost the White House over this.
They do.
So now is a pretty good time,
actually.
They're
pointing the fingers at each other, definitely.
Right, but I think a lot of them understand that they lost it over this issue. Had this not been happening, had this not happened, the Democrats probably would have won. This was a catalyzing, singular event, a defined event that lost them the White House. It's in all the polls. It's universally accepted that this, without this, Trump probably would not have won. So they have reason to join in on something like this. They don't want to lose the White House the next time over this. Maybe that's what it is. But ultimately, I think a final report, a big thick tome, like the 9/11 Commission report or the Warren report or the one on Iran-Contra, there have been over 100 of them, and about 40 or 50 presidential investigative commissions, I think would really help the nation deal with this issue going forward from a common set of facts that everybody kind of agrees on.
Incredible. I couldn't agree more. I could not agree more. We need a truth commission. We need folks, we do need to get to the bottom of this. It needs to be explained. It needs to be shown who, what, where, and how this event began, like the Civil War, and it needs to be studied. It needs to be prevented. Bottom line.
Yeah, you can read my full argument at the American Mind, where I just kind of make this proposal and put it out there. And you know, I'm not getting great feedback from MAGA on it, but, you know, nobody trusts each other still. But at some point, you know, we've got to come together on these things.
Well, you know, when I read it, the thing that I thought of, and I know that, you know, there would be great resistance at the national level. But what about if the state of Texas had it? I mean, what if the city of San Antonio had one about the migrant center? I mean, these are situations. I mean, this thing affected us nationwide, but down to the block. It sure it is how deep this has gone. So, you know, maybe we need smaller commissions to get it going. Let me ask you real quick before we let you go. Tell us about your idea that we need to get the Remain in Mexico policy going. That probably would be the best thing, the first thing and best thing to do.
Right. So Remain in Mexico, as you recall, I know you do, but a lot of people don't. That's going to become part of the vernacular nationwide very shortly, because the Trump administration, the incoming one, has already said that they're going to put that back in place on the border on day one as a kind of a primary way to get the border under control finally. So, you know, what is it and how does it work is the question that I raise and answer in my most recent piece in The Federalist, which you can find at The Federalist or at my website, toddbensman.com, and read it. And this is based on, well, first of all, let me just explain what it is. It allows Border Patrol to capture illegal immigrants at the border and return them very quickly into Mexico with their asylum claims so that they can wait out the duration of the adjudication process in Mexico, not in the United States. The reason why that's important geographically, where they wait, is because a primary driver of mass illegal immigration is this knowledge that if you claim asylum and get released into the United States to await the backlog for your turn in line, that, you know, you can live and work here pretty much for the rest of your life. You're released and they'll never come get you, even if you are declined your asylum claim. And that's the reason why people come. Remain in Mexico removes that driving motivation and incentive from the whole decision-making process. In other words, if you know that you're going to be pushed back into Mexico for 5 years rather than to be quickly released into the United States for your 5 years, you're not going to come. You're going to go home. And that is the kind of the brilliance of Remain in Mexico. It surgically removes the primary motivation for millions of people to come and claim asylum, at least until the asylum law is fixed, and that may be a while. But the piece that I wrote is based on interviews that I conducted when Remain in Mexico was actually in place back in 2019. Ultimately, the Trump administration expelled 75,000 immigrants into Mexico to wait their asylum claims there. And I went down there to Juarez and interviewed a whole bunch of them. Like, what does this do now? How are you thinking about this now? And to a man, woman, and sometimes even child, the answer was, I'm going home. I'm not staying here.
Home being back to their home country.
Yeah, to their home countries.
Yeah.
So many, in fact, were going home that the United Nations IOM, stood up a free busing program that was sending bus after bus after bus every day filled with returning migrants all the way to Honduras and Guatemala, El Salvador, etc. They weren't staying. And the ones that maybe were planning to come probably stayed home because nobody is coming for the great Mexican dream, right? So that's the way this is going to work. That's why I think Remain in Mexico is going to be highly impactful. Its impact is so profound that oppositionists sued the crap out of it as hard as they could when it first came out. They understood what it would do, and they lost. The Supreme Court has upheld this thing. It can't be sued anymore. It'll go into play right away, and you'll hear all about it. And if you want to know why it's working or how it works, just read my piece in The Federalist.
Gotcha. Tell the folks where they can read your piece.
Yep, toddvinsman.com. I reprint everything on my website so you can easily find it. And I work for the Center for Immigration Studies, CIS.org. You can find a bunch of my work there. You can sign up for my newsletter at toddvinsman.com and follow me on social media there too.
Gotcha. My friends, we've been speaking with my good friend, Mr. Todd Vinsman from the Center for Immigration Studies. Todd, you've been doing great work. Thank you so much for being on our show, buddy.
Thank you. And also, you know, stay connected to me, because I'm about to go to Mexico City on Monday to wander among the 50,000 immigrants that are trapped down there, wishing and pushing and trying to get to the U.S. border, but so far being held back by Mexican soldiers.
Wow. That'll be interesting. Thank you very much once again, my friends. We've been speaking with my good buddy,